Well, moving on from smelling to seeing now, the best way to understand how different fish see the world is to look at the genes that code for the visual pigments in their eyes. So I spoke to Shozo Yokoyama from Emory University to find out more about sight in the seas, starting off with a bit of an elementary biology lesson on the light-sensing part of the eye, the retina.
When you look at the retina, we have one type of pigment which are expressed in rods, which we call them rhodopsins, and there are the four kinds of pigments are expressed in cones. And, for example, one type of cone pigment detect either UV or violet. Another type of pigment detect, say, red or green. That's other extremes. Then the other two types absorb light between blue and green. So essentially four kinds of cone pigments we have, we means fish has.
And are all four of those pigments seen in all fish, or are some of them lost within some groups?
Oh, yes. So that compositions can be very different depending on where you live.
When we look at living species of fish, when we compare the visual pigments of different groups today, what sort of differences do we see between them?
I think different groups of fish do not make much difference, but we can see more similarities among them. But the biggest difference comes from where they live, in this case, the depth of the ocean, say, then that affects them a lot.
So if we compare something like a shallow water, so a fish that perhaps lives on a coral reef compared to something that lives a very long way down where there's not a lot of light at all?
As you go down the ocean, go deeper, then amount of light will be reduced a lot. And the specific light can go down, can penetrate. That's because water absorbs red colors and UV colors. So only between of them can go down. So depending on where they live, their vision can be affected significantly. I'll give you one example. That is a coelacanth, which live like 200 meters under the ocean. They live close to the Comoros archipelago in the Indian Ocean. And there, they get the specific, very special light. So coelacanth kept only rod pigments, rhodopsins in rod, and one kind of pigment in cones. That's all, and other genes have been eliminated. We can study that at the molecular level and the function levels, so we know what they did to live in that environment. But if you come up in the shallow waters, fish can see practically everywhere, from UV to far red. So whereas this example of coelacanth can detect only very narrow strip of light, around 480 nanometers.
So is it a case that with something like a coelacanth, because they live at a depth of the ocean where only a certain amount of the light spectrum gets through to them, there's no point in having visual pigments that would allow them to see sort of the red end of the spectrum or the UV end?
Yes, that's the way it works. Actually, they did that very perfectly. So the coelacanth's ancestor, paleontological data says they used to live in near the shallow water. Then maybe 200 million years or so ago, they went down, start going down to 200 meters. Their ancestor could see all sorts of light from UV to red. But today's coelacanth can see only around 480 nanometers. That's around blue. And at the same time, what they did was that they eliminated the gene which detects UV and red. So their gene structure of the visual pigment is very, very simple.
And if we look even deeper, so right down into the deep, deep sea, I suppose a lot of the fish species that live down there don't have any need for cones that will see red light, because red light attenuates so much in water that there basically isn't any left down there, so they have no need to see it. But there are some species that produce their own red light to be able to see sort of prey species. Do we see a specialization of cones in those species to be able to see red light?
Actually, that's what we like to know. There's one fish called a loose jaw, which create two kinds of light. Many are bioluminescence produce 480, but this particular fish produce both 480 and around 700 nanometer. That's red, right? And the genetics of this one, we really want to clone these genes, which are we are doing it, but our function has not been determined yet from a molecular genetics point of view. So that's why I cannot tell you too much about it.
So I guess it's the case of if you produce the light, you want to make sure that you can see it.
Right. I think that's what they will do. Of course, another purpose of the bioluminescence is for the camouflage, right? So if you go down ocean, look up, then sky is kind of light. So fish want to make their belly whiter. So that's the reason they use bioluminescence. But some of the like red, as you mentioned, that has to be used for the hunting or communications, then they have to see. So to establish it, we have to really clone the gene that we are not there yet.
That was Shozo Yokoyama from Emory University in Atlanta. And it seems like there's still a fair bit of uncertainty over how exactly the genes for visual pigments have shifted in different species. And especially the interesting case of the stoplight loosejaw, which of course we heard about in our Critters of Christmas episode. Definitely an area to keep an eye on. Excuse the pun.
Making waves about the underwater world. This is Naked Oceans.